Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by festive man himself, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing in this wonderful Christmas season?
I'm doing well. I've had a lovely, very relaxing Christmas period. So I've had a lovely time.
Wonderful.
And give me another couple of days and I'll be ready to get started again. But this is very much the kind of like no man's land between Christmas and New Year that everyone talks about. But the year's kind of been like that. We've all been waiting to do something. So it kind of feels very familiar to me.
I quite like, I think my favourite part of Christmas is that kind of period between the 25th Christmas Day, all the way around to sort of December 31st. I hate New Year's Eve. I don't know why. Something about New Year's Eve. I think I had too many traumatic experiences in a room singing Auld Lang Syne with people. I don't do it. But this week is my favourite week. But more importantly, what did you get for Christmas, Pete? What did Father Christmas bring you this fine year?
Got loads of bits and bobs, to be quite frank. One of my favourite in the US office, Michael Scott at one point has this kind of like cat that boxes, and I'm a big fan of The Office, and so my partner bought me a William Shakespeare boxing kind of little hand puppet. It is a lot of fun. It's quite simply a lot of fun. Like, it's one of those things that's very simple, but the way that it kind of like expresses itself, the little figurine, I find it endlessly charming. So I've spent most of my time just playing with a little William Shakespeare that boxes. The big present, though, hasn't actually arrived yet, I must admit, but I've kind of ruined it for myself and my partner. My partner bought me, basically, a couple of weeks ago, we were with some friends, and I said, I like Japan, I love Japan, but I never want to be one of those blokes who owns a sword, right? Little flippant comment, didn't mean anything by it. I just said, look, I didn't want to be a sword guy. All right. I've got so many different kind of like midlife crises kind of, things, kind of like neckbeard, fedora kind of tendencies anyway. I didn't need a sod. But my partner is obviously, of course, she had already bought me a sod online. So that's not arrived yet. So maybe she'll lock my head off with it very soon. But it's all just a bit of fun.
I love the way
it's a beautiful sod.
I love the way that's what she went for, knowing that you love Japanese culture. That is like the one thing she decided to go for. I mean, a bloody sword. How do you get a sword? Where did she buy it from? You don't just go on Amazon and just hand pick a sword, surely. Well, how does it work?
I don't really know, to be honest. No, I don't know where she got it from. I'll inspect the quality, no doubt. Sort of a Ghost of Tsushima style or Tenchu style when it comes here. And no doubt I'll be waving it around the house with wanton abandon. So that'll probably lose our security deposit. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be a real beauty.
Forged in fires of Kagoshima.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if anybody wants me to go out and kill, kill anyone, I am now on Fiverr, 20 quid. I'll kill everyone with my big sword.
I'll be putting in a bid to take out Ryotaro sometime early in the new year. That is awesome. It's pretty funny though, because I remember a few months ago you were making fun of people that have a midlife crisis and buy a sword. And I remember someone like sent us an email being like, "I love the podcast, but you should stop insulting people.
Don't ever
go
with swords."
And now you're in that category. Now you are a swordsman.
Look, you live long to become the evil person you hate.
The villain.
You live long enough to be the villain. And look, I've got nothing against it, but I just fear, for me, I have a friendship group that already mocks me how much I love Japan and going to Japan. So I just think that I just made the comment that I didn't want to be a sword guy. Someone has given me a sword. I now own a sword. I'm cool with it. I'm excited. I want to wave my sword around.
And the final piece of the puzzle is getting your own like railway train set, isn't it, to put around in your attic. It's the final piece of the puzzle. Next year's present.
Oh, God. Well, we don't have a fireplace, so I can't put the sword above the fireplace.
Where are you going to put it? What are you going to do with it? Just sleep with it under the pillow in case you get attacked?
Yeah, I guess that's probably... I'll be wearing it around my midriff, surely, ready for any invaders.
Wandering the streets of London with his samurai sword. Nice one. That'd be great. Samurai Pete. But at least you got something good. Like this Christmas, I didn't get a whole lot. In fact, I got some bad news. Turns out, right?
Oh.
On the night before Christmas, I was sitting by my pathetic Christmas tree. It's like 10 centimetres tall and it costs 70 pence,
right.
About 70 yen. And I opened the news to reveal that Nitori, which is kind of like the... It's a bit like IKEA in Japan, basically. Nitori, this home shop that sells home furnishings and things. They were recalling an item, a bath mat, because turns out 2 million bath mats sold across Japan contain asbestos because they were made in a dodgy Chinese factory that wanted to cut costs. They just filled this fucking bath mat full of asbestos. And I've used this bath mat for 2 years. I love this bath mat. So you can imagine my distress to learn it's filled with an incredibly toxic material that can cause lung cancer. That was my present the night before Christmas. And ironic, because when I think of you, Pete, the first thing that springs to mind is asbestos, because it is your favourite word.
It's a lovely word, I think.
It's got
the word best in it.
It's certainly not the best. Fucking lung cancer. What were they thinking? Seriously, I was quite annoyed, but I'm also
presumably, if the asbestos is encased in something, you should be fine. It's just a packing material, isn't it? It's if it gets out. And I presume the packing material will be surrounded by rubber or plastic. So presumably you're completely safe. But I mean, the most upsetting, what I don't understand is why did they choose asbestos to put in there? Like out of all the things they could have chosen, just pack it with cotton wool or old nappies or something. I don't know. Just do something other than bloody asbestos. Asbestos sounds hard to come by and expensive. I don't know why. It just does.
I know, right? And I don't know what they were thinking. But I don't know how to get rid of it now. It's my next conundrum. I've got this.
I've got an asbestos filled. Yeah. What's it in? Like a carrier bag? Burn it out on the street of Sendai or something. Oh, no. That's a disaster.
I'll send it to you and you can chop it in half with your samurai sword when you get it next week. Seriously, though. Oh, man.
Lordy. But, I hear that you've got a mushroom growing kit as well from Sharla. That's that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Little mushroom
boy. I mean, that's slightly better than an asbestos bath mat, I think. Anyway, yeah, on the on the live show that we did for Christmas, which I don't know if you saw. I did this live show with Natsuki and Joey and Sharla. And
he's an hour late. Natsuki was an hour late, are you?
Yeah, bloody Natsuki. We had this KFC Christmas dinner at his house. We travelled for like 4 hours to get there to have this dinner. We got there and he was just gone. And his wife was like, just I don't know where Natsuki is. Just pissed off. Cheeky death. And,
lovely.
So yeah, it was all cold. By the time he turned up, it was all cold. And the already underwhelming KFC Christmas dinner was all that much more worse as a result of his lateness. But the mushroom farm, don't know what to do with it. How do you grow mushrooms? What do you do with a mushroom farm?
Don't you grow them in the dark? Don't mushrooms grow in the dark in some lovely damp soil? I know one time that in my shower there was a leak in the cavity wall, which meant that all the wood and the bricks behind the shower was absolutely saturated with water, and there was just a lot of like rot, absolute rot coming through, and a mushroom grew through there. That was a low point in my life, I have to say.
That's terrible.
Delicious with an omelette though.
Oh God, that's absolutely disgraceful. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'll just stick it in the wardrobe, also known as my recording studio, and see what happens. That'll be my little my little project for 2021.
Get some worms.
Now we turn our attention to story of the week, and we've got a story this week from Ray. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete, long time listener, first time fax machine writer, but I couldn't help but opine about my own encounter with the Yakuza after last Sunday's podcast story, where you boys." Talks about whether it's dangerous to bump into Yakuza and whether they could fight while potentially missing a finger or several fingers. First off, my anecdotal encounter with the Japanese Yakuza happened during my first trip to Japan back in 2016. I was on the final leg of my Golden Route trip to see Tokyo, Kyoto and Osaka, and I landed in Namba near the Dotonbori Strip. And I'd grown fond of using public bathhouses known as Sentor by then. So I looked up the closest one I could find nearby the market to wash up and relax, since my apartment's bath was cramped and kind of awkward to use because there wasn't a dry place to hang up a towel and clothes. Asbestos. Mushrooms coming through the wall. So I found a public bath, and after showering off in one of the stalls, I went to the bath area to find it was almost completely empty, except for two gentlemen relaxing in one of the hot baths I wanted to use. Having gotten used to public bathing by then and not seeing anything wrong with joining them in that particular bath, I went over and inserted myself into the situation. They saw me, and one of them grunted a bit and made room for me to sit in with them. It was only after I settled in and unwinded alongside them for a few minutes that I noticed they were both unusually tattooed with traditional and intricate back and shoulder designs, and that is when it hit me that they might be, or formerly may have been, part of a Japanese criminal fraternity at some point. Still, they were perfectly well-mannered with me and tolerated my presence with little fanfare, so I didn't think much more of it until later, when I wondered if they had a special dispensation to use the Sento, despite the general trend of proprietors looking down on tattoos, especially the kind seen on Yakuza members. As for whether you can punch a man while missing some digits, you most definitely can, and it will still hurt your target the usual amount, because you're not just relying on the total mass of your ham fist to inflict damage, but rather the focused impact of the knuckles at the base of your fingers. Incidentally, I've never tuck your thumb beneath your fingers when you ball up your fist, because you can easily break it on impact that way. Hopefully this was enlightening or amusing. Take care, Ray. It was not much of a story there. I got in a bath with some people that might have been Yakuza, although the final segment did teach me a lot about how to punch someone in the face. What do you make of that, Pete? Remember this conversation we had about fingers, having a fist with no fingers. Can you still fight?
I think we had a couple of emails about that. Yeah, I think we had a couple of emails about that because I was a little bit confused. But yeah, it seems that it's way more difficult to ball a fist, but... like the guy says, it's you know, the impact sort of space will be a lot smaller, so maybe it helps. I don't know. The thing that made me laugh about the nudie Yakuza guy, Sad Karaage Boy on Twitter, who's always good value, she sent us a Yakuza video game Oppai mouse pad. Have you seen an Oppai mouse pad before?
I mean, no, I don't know, like a breast mouse pad.
So upi means breasts, and shopi, I think, means salty, which is very enjoyable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always one of my favorite things ever. I haven't learned any new Japanese for a couple of years simply because I've not been allowed to come.
Upi and shopi.
Yeah, it's like, upi and shopi, very, very similar. But they, basically, it's the two Yakuza characters, Kiryu and Goro, from the Yakuza series. And they've got these beautiful breasts, kind of beautiful cleavage, hanging out of their suits, and where the boobs are, they've got like they've kind of stuffed it, probably with asbestos, stuffed it with like to make little two little raised soft kind of gel boobs, so you can rest your wrist, so it's very, very relaxing when you're not using your mouse. So what I'm saying is they're out there, and if I know it, and a sad Karaage boy knows it, everyone else needs to know it as well.
So, another stocking filler there for next year. God. Oh man! I mean, I don't think I've ever seen any Yakuza in a bathhouse before. I don't really know what the correct thing to do would be. Just sort of nod,
chop your finger
and be
off.
Like, "Hello." What is God?
So I go, "Where's your finger gone?
What's
Let me
going
look
on?"
Willy.
Good God. But I thought in this episode, given it is the last episode of 2020, a year certainly with its ups and downs, and a year that's felt incredibly long, even though not a lot has really happened, I thought I'd take a look back this week on some of the things we've covered, some of the more interesting articles that we've sort of covered. And to kick things off, Pete, have you got a memory or highlight of 2020? Of the many stories we've covered, have you got any highlights you'd like to bring up, up?
I mean, there was like a little bit of a lockdown in Japan for a little while. Obviously, the bears just descending on every town was just very enjoyable. I also enjoyed you visiting Fukushima and all of the bears that had taken over. But it was just bear heavy year, I think, for many. The bears had a great year in 2020. They will look back and sort of go,
"The winners."
That is their Annus Awesome Bliss. I don't know what the opposite of Honor Bliss is, but they're going to look back and sort of go, "This has been our year. We have been hog happy." Not hog, bear happy. and also the old ladies with their guns shooting at the monkeys in Fukui. The monkey busters. Very enjoyable.
Airsoft guns. Airsoft guns in hand.
It's got to be like a manga kind of, or an anime of the monkey busters of Fukui, surely.
I mean, if they can make an anime about Carlos Ghosn, a disgraced CEO, I'm sure they can pick the monkey busters.
Exactly.
A lot more content there. I think my greatest missed opportunity of the year was the McDonald's adult cream pie. Remember when McDonald's, I think about a year ago now in January, they released this this cream pie dessert, and they referred to it on the marketing as adult, like McDonald's adult cream pie, and everyone had a field day. And somehow I didn't make a video out of it. I think maybe because I was a little bit worried about demonetization. And also, I don't know what I could have done. That's like a 10-second joke. I don't know how I could have drawn that out for 10 minutes. Was it
filthy food? I think so, definitely. Like I could sort of tell when you were talking, and I cannot stress this enough, I so enjoyed Joy the Anime Man last week and you guys having a chat, because the conversation flows a little easier when you're in the room, but also I just very much enjoyed two very contrasting sort of styles when it comes to releasing videos. He's like releasing like one a day back in the day and maybe two a week around about now and stuff. And you were going, "What? You release that many?"
I don't know how he does it. He pumps videos out, right? Like no tomorrow.
What's his kind of thing? Talking about anime and stuff?
He talks about anime. He does interviews and things. I think it's mainly because he does like commentary style stuff, does Joey.
Right,
whereas my videos are kind of, I'm always trying to push boundaries
scope,
and do something over the top. You what?
They're slightly bigger in scope, aren't they?
But I'd like to think so. I mean, yeah, I guess so. If you look at the videos, that we've done over the last few months, that I've not actually been inside like once. You know, I've not actually sat inside and bashed out a normal video. I'm working on one now, talking about Christmas in Japan and why it's pretty rubbish. Which is just me in my room whinging about stuff. Mainly, again, the asbestos bath mat. It's a 10-minute video based around that. But
eat the mat.
But like Joey's got the right idea, and I think that's the sort of direction I need to head in a little bit, aka
just relax
more videos
a bit more
locally.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Just relax a bit more. Just sort of go, look, you can have your big, you know, drone shot tours of a remote fishing village off the coast of Sendai. And then the next one, could you be in 7-Eleven just eating stuff from the combini?
Yeah. I've got to try and balance it out a little better.
But I very much enjoyed you and him talking about reaction videos and stuff. It did make me think maybe that should be my next video. Pete Donaldson reacts to Chris Broad's abroad in Japan. Oh,
well, you joke, but there's so many videos and they seem to be getting such good views. I actually messaged Ryotaro yesterday. I dropped her a message. Mm. I was like, you better get in on this quick because there's some serious views to be had from just being a Japanese person.
Like, honestly, talking and reviewing. Wild. It's wild. Like, yeah. I think because obviously I follow you and I watch all of your videos because I have to. So I always get them suggested in my algorithm, my YouTube algorithm. And it is very low. It's not very much work, is it? It's just pausing and going, well, here's the deal. Like, they could do 10 an hour if they wanted to.
I know, right? Like, I mean, the video that they all do is the 12 things not to do in Japan video. And from the three or four that I've seen, they just completely agree with every single one of my points, except the first one where they're like, the first point is like, I said you can't really eat and walk in Japan at the same time. Mm. And they were like, a lot of people are like, well, you can in certain places like Asakusa and Dotonbori and Osaka. But, you know, really you can't, you just, people still look at you weird. So like, it's such an easy thing to do. And I spent like 10 days scripting, filming, editing, producing that video. And in 12 minutes, you can bash out a reaction video that could get potentially 1 million views just by being Japanese. Of course, you can't do that, Pete, because you're not Japanese. I don't know what angle you could bring to the party. What could you do?
Northern person against person from Kent, maybe? Chris, though, I'd have fun though. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it'd be popular, it doesn't matter with anyone we're watching, I'd have some fun, Chris. That's the main thing. I'd have a little bit of fun, wouldn't I?
Why does that sound so seedy?
I will say that last week though, it was so lovely to listen to the Abroad in Japan podcast and like listen to it with fresh ears. So what I'd like to say is that this podcast is great. Congratulations for being smashing.
I'm worried now, Pete. I feel like this is you're buttering me up for some reason. Why is this happening? He's just going to quit. It was good. It's cool. It was, as you say, it was nice to do it in the same room. It was nice to chat with Joey. You know, he's done so much cool stuff on YouTube. He's had quite a wild ride. He's got, I don't know any other YouTuber actually who's got such a strong network of friends. You know, he knows everyone in the YouTube community somehow. He knows Jacksepticeye.
He's friendly, Chris. Chris, I think you're discounting the thing. He's quite friendly, isn't he? He's quite outgoing. He's not miserable.
Have I got to be more friendly in 2021 to build the network?
Well, let's deal with the asbestos bath mat first. Get rid of that and then you can build your network, all right, mate? Stay alive. That's what I'm asking.
My name's Chris. I've got a YouTube channel with a bath mat full of asbestos. Do you want to be my friend?
Fucking hell. Dire. It's dire, isn't it? But I don't know. I look back. It's weird, though. 2020 has been a crap year, objectively. But somehow, when I look back at the videos on the Abroad in Japan channel, I'm actually quite happy with what we've done. And before we sat down to record this podcast, I'm currently working on like this montage video that I try and bash out every year, like highlight reel, basically, like YouTube Rewind, but good. And I sort of go through and look at the highlights, and there's some good clips of you in there. There's a clip of you going, look at you all high and mighty with your GoPro, Chikan or something, in the tower in Sapporo. It's quite funny. But like, yeah, this year's not been a
total... You shouldn't have had it on a stick looking up girls' skirts, though.
Oh, God. But like, you know, it's not been a write-off.
Rotter.
Chikan. You were looking through a telescope, weren't you, up a tower?
Yes, I was looking at that. Yeah.
48 hours
a big telescope at the top of the Sapporo Tower, and you're supposed to look out. But I was kind of... I'd wheeled it around, so I was staring at people in the actual gift shop. I was staring at the cashier going, ooh, hello.
she looked thoroughly scared and intimidated. God, the more I think about it, the more scared I am that you're going to have a sword in your possession sometime in the next 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun. But 2020 wasn't too bad for the Abroad in Japan channel.
Yeah.
So I was quite happy. but got to try and top it somehow. Next year, got to try and find a way of making it better. But before I get around to that, and next week we'll talk about our New Year's resolutions, our standard podcast where Pete and I outline our plans for next year. But yeah, highlight of this year, Pete, final chance, what's your highlight news article of the year that we've discussed?
I'm trying to think now. The video game Grandma, I quite enjoyed. I enjoy older people doing things that you, sort of things you wouldn't expect, sort of thing. Even though nowadays, you know, you could have started playing video games in the 80s or even the late 70s and still continue to play them because you like them. So it's not, we're going to have a generation of video game grandma and grandpas, but it's starting to sort of happen. There's the Skyrim grandma. There's the,
grandma.
There's the Zelda grandma who loves a bit of Zelda. It's lovely to see. So yeah, I recall we had a 90 year old video game grandma, earlier this year. So I'll have
a bit of that. Was awesome. I remember reading about her in the news. I think that was back in June, and watching an interview of her. And it was really surreal just watching this 90-year-old woman just shooting people in the head on Call of Duty. And she just cheering away, having a laugh, shooting people with a submachine gun. This happy 90-year-old Japanese grandma. That was rather weird, but fair play to her. What a legend. Absolute legend. Got to try and dig out that footage. That was classic. Yeah, I think that was my highlight as well. I'm going to be cheap and just say that was my highlight as well. What else was there? Do you remember, I think in April, when the old coronavirus was kicking off and lockdown in Japan took hold around April and May, over here, people were locked inside. And then a company started renting out hotel rooms for couples looking to escape lockdown fatigue for $40. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this
up. Yes, a little bit. So just kind of like, yeah, it was a weird little kind of happenstance. It was a weird kind of little plan, wasn't it?
I think the idea was, yeah, it was like a love hotel kind of scenario where you could just rent out an apartment for $40 and you go there with your partner and just relax and make it into like a mini holiday in another, like a hotel room or apartment. In hindsight, wasn't really that special, was it? Just a cheap hotel room. Nothing there. It's a crap story.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
The
was good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete Show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense, from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. It. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is.
It's too groovy. It's too groovy.
Yeah, it's just like now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is, like, leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room
they have
to dismantle, to dismember,
dismantle,
to stuff,
yes,
to make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things. I'd
you
get
would.
Blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where, yeah, it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
But what was your highlight of 2020? We covered a lot of stories, a lot of articles. If you have a highlight 2020, guys, let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. And now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
Well, we kick off with a message from Joya. Hello, Joya. I want to hear Chris's Japanese without that weird deep voice you do when you speak Japanese.
I don't know why I do the weird voice. Like,
watashi no namae wa Chris.
I think it's because I sound more Japanese when I do the deep voice. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, a lot of men do kind of affect that kind of like deep voice, and they use different terms and stuff, different words. You guys were talking about it last week, where the ums and ah words that women use are very different to the ones that men use, and obviously the men like a big Scottish like bodybuilder or something, power lifter, had been taught all of these very sort of feminine terms.
Yeah.
Feminine way of speaking, effectively enjoyable.
Yeah, I think the reason I put on this voice or sort of like, I don't think I actually speak like that in everyday life in Japan, like in Japanese. So I'm like, oh yeah,
biru hitotsu onegaishimasu.
I think that's mainly my acting voice. But I remember when I started learning Japanese my first year, my friend, Canadian guy who I used to live near and work with, he told me that when you learn Japanese or speak Japanese, you should almost switch to another personality. Like you should build almost
right.
like this whole new character, because you can't literally translate between English and Japanese. So I took on this character. The trouble is the character just sounds like a Yakuza boss hitman figure that doesn't really work in everyday life in Japan. So I've kind of shot myself in the foot there. It's quite dangerous.
Abunai.
I like him.
Stupid.
Put him on the podcast more.
Let's bring back angry Japanese hitman Yakuza dude. We got one here from Vicky Cooper from Birmingham. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. Hope you're both doing well and had a great Christmas. Chris, a question for you based on your Christmas live stream. In case you missed it, guys, it is on the Abroad Perspective channel, the second Secret Abroad in Japan channel, where we sat down for 2 hours. You gave Sharla in the live show a ceramic cat humidifier as her present. And I saw in the Tokyo Creative videos, they also give humidifiers as presents. Is this something that all households in Japan have and use? I have one myself in the UK, but I don't know anyone else who has one. So I was curious about them in Japan. And now I want to see if I can find a cute dog-shaped one. Thank you both for all the amazing podcasts and videos. They really brighten my day. All the best, Vicky. The cat humidifier. I know Shia likes cats, so I got her something cat-related. I think that was the first thing I saw. So I just thought, cat humidifier, that'll do. But what I will say is because the houses in Japan are so poorly insulated, we have a lot of heaters around. Like, I've got a heater that just blows out hot air. And the consequence of that is the air gets so dry. So a lot of people have humidifiers in their house. And even when I was working as a teacher in the staff room, which was massive, it was like a football pitch. It was like a whole football pitch size room for the staff room. But it got really dry because of the heaters in winter. And various teachers around the room would have a little humidifier on their desk, blowing up this kind of nice humidified air, nice damp air into their face to try and make their skin nice. So they love it here. Humidifiers, yeah. It's the future.
I guess it's probably sort of a concern if you've got a house that's got a lot of wood in it. I mean, presumably you don't want the wood to get too dry and splinter and blister and stuff. So it's probably a good idea to keep your house as humidified as possible. Which you do sort of look at Japan and sort of go, it's actually quite a humid environment. But I guess if you're running an aircon 24/7, you're gonna dry out your house.
Exactly, and it makes you snore as well because your throat gets really dry. So I found it makes me snore. So I've got one as well, but it's not in the shape of a cat because that would just be a bit weird. Doesn't really fit my personality.
You see them a lot in like Muji on the high street in England, and they sell these little humidifiers, and you just don't see them anywhere else in England. But if you want one, Muji.
Stocking filler for next year. Humidifier. We've got one from Johnny. Over to you, Pete.
We have, yes. Hello, Johnny from California. All Johnny California here. Hi, Chris and Pete. Long time listener, first time writer. Hope you guys are having a great Christmas holiday. I am. I believe Chris is too. From the last podcast, I heard Chris saying that Abroad in Japan channel doesn't influence people from around the world to visit Japan. I just want to say that is not true. Personally, I found Chris's channels 4 years ago and promptly visited Japan after a few months. You're very suggestible, Johnny, I must say. The channel definitely provides the right amount of information along with comedic relief. Haha! Anyways, I have a challenge for you guys. Recently, a girl I like said that her idea of a perfect date is in Japan at a small cafe under the cherry blossom trees and next to a river. I would like to bring this to life to her once Japan is open again. So Chris and Pete, can you think of a place like that and let us know where I can find this magical place in Japan? Keep up the good work, guys. Look forward to seeing what you guys can come up with, I guess, later. Pete, I love Coolish. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. That was Johnny from California. Where is the little cafe next to the river? Chris, we need to know.
So, it's a good question, actually. I did a video with Ryotaro back in 2016 called Experiencing Japan's Biggest Annual Event, Cherry Blossom Season. It's the biggest annual event because 60% of Japan's population gets stuck into the season and have these lovely hanami flower viewing parties. We sort of sit beneath the cherry blossom, drink beer and eat things. And in that video, we went to this town called Shibata, just south of Sendai. And I think it's got the most cherry blossoms in all of North Japan. There were thousands of them in bloom and it was absolutely incredible. I'm not somebody who's that big on flowers or fun or things that look nice, but even I was like, wow. This is impressive. And if I was going to have a date with a girl beneath a cherry blossom tree, this is where I would do it. Shibata in Sendai. That is the place to do it. Only 90 minutes north of Tokyo by bullet train. And you can watch the video that I did with Ryotaro if you want to see what it actually looks like. Absolutely incredible place. Highly recommend. And
presumably the hanami sakura, they kind of come in a little later in Sendai compared to Tokyo or Osaka or Fukuoka.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. The old cherry blossom season kicks off, I think, in March in Okinawa and sort of snakes its way up the country and eventually gets to Hokkaido in May, I want to say. And they've got, like, you know, on the weather, for like 2 months. You just have the weather forecast, and they have like a cherry blossom map. You can sort of see it going up Japan, like working its way up the country. It's quite fun. That's what big part of the year, the cherry blossom map. Stick around for that. It's great fun. That sounds sarcastic, but it's kind of weird having this cherry blossom weather forecast all year or throughout the spring season. But have you been around for the cherry blossom season at all on your trips?
I seem to recall, yes, I did. I think I saw it in Kyoto. I seem to recall sort of strolling around.
Oh, very nice.
It was a beautiful time to visit, and I remember having a lovely stroll around. I remember it being quite rainy that holiday, so I spent a lot of time looking at the cherry blossom underneath a see-through plastic umbrella at that. Remember when we visited the biggest Starbucks in the world, Chris, in Tokyo? Or certainly me and Ian did anyway.
I didn't go with you.
You were busy. You were doing something else, weren't you? You had a meeting or something. We went to the biggest Starbucks in the world, like gigantic thing, obviously, like over two buildings. It's crazy. But that's next to a big river, and that's next to where all the cherry blossom is. So that's a good shout, isn't it?
Absolutely,
and it's only the biggest Starbucks in the world.
In Nakameguro, which is like a 10-minute walk from Shibuya, that's a really beautiful, trendy kind of place. It's like the Camden of Tokyo, but nicer than Camden, far, far nicer. It's a really cool place. If you get the chance, that is the place to see cherry blossom in Tokyo. And of course, you can drop into the world's biggest Starbucks. Was it good? I haven't actually been inside. When it first opened, I was actually staying at a hotel across the road for like 2 weeks. So I was doing some Tokyo creative project. This was like 2 years ago now. And I remember being across the road from it when it opened, and there was like a queue. It was like 2 hours long, but people were still just, you know, waiting it out just to go into this gigantic Starbucks. Something I just can't imagine.
Unfortunately, I didn't actually go in there at all. It just looked
too
busy.
Go in?
You got to get a ticket from the building next door and then walk in. It just seemed all very stressful. And there was a couple of like crazy named real estate places around the corner I wanted to look at and take pictures of. So there you go.
I mean, it's more like a theme park attraction, isn't it? The fact that you've got to go to a building, get like a special ticket around the corner, and then line up for 90 minutes. I think the last time I was there, though, the queues are very much gone. Now that it's been over a year or so since it opened, it's actually accessible. We got one here from Gareth, who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Love the podcast and the YouTube channel. They become a great insight into Japanese culture and life. And whilst travel is severely limited, it's great to see faraway places and listen to your stories while I'm in the workshop. I read this morning that Ghost of Tsushima fans have helped raise money to replace a torii gate that was destroyed during a typhoon. And wondered if you guys have ever had a real world, ever had a real world good deed come from your virtual doings. I know you've inspired people to learn, travel, and live in Japan, but you don't really get to see these outcomes. So is there anything that you've got to actually be present for that was due to something you've done online? I'm not Santa, so I'm not judging you if you've been naughty or nice. And I wouldn't want you rummaging around my sack either. Oh, God. Also wondered, did Chris teach Natsuki the phrase, the dog's bollocks? Many thanks for your time, Gareth. Pete, have you ever done anything good that reverberated online? Or vice versa?
I mean, we've made like... I remember sort of setting up, I think I spoke about this before, but I set up a website called drawyourdad.com. Did I tell you about that? Where basically people could just draw their dads because dads never get drawn. For about a year, I maintained this little website, little corner of the internet where people could sort of email me a picture of the dad of their dad that they drew. And there's a lot of kind of like, my dad's a fucking prick kind of like still very accurate drawings of this prick dad. But then there was like, you know, pictures of people's like dads, just the headstones of their dads because they'd passed on and stuff. So it was a really nice kind of like chance for someone to like pay tribute to their father through the medium of scribbling on Microsoft Paint. And I look back and I was very fond of what we achieved effectively just by putting up pictures that people had drawn of their dads. I found a lot of a cachet of them on an old hard drive recently. I put them up on Twitter. So hopefully they can still be found. But yeah, drawyourdad.com.
What was the genesis? How did this happen? Why do you think this was like an idea?
Oh, I can't remember.
That's really
Chris.
Cool.
But... I can't remember. I'm sure it was just one of those ideas you have in the shower. And some people don't have the free time to come through with it.
That's pretty cool, though. Nice one. I mean, as for the ghost of Tsushima Torii-gate, I hadn't heard about that, so that's really impressive.
It's lovely.
From what I discovered, Tsushima, the island in the infamous video game that came out this year, they had some sort of big tourism like marketing plan for this year, and they were going to get loads of people to come over. So I feel really bad for them. They missed out on that kind of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to put this relatively unknown island on the map and to get people over. So it's a real shame the coronavirus happened, and that happened because I think they would have had a very good year. But hopefully when airplanes and travel come roaring back, fans of the video game will still make the pilgrimage to the island and check it out and see the Torii gate that they've funded and replaced. As for anything I've done good, I've promoted a lot of places over the years, shouted out places, and people have gone there. I remember I went to Nyokan in Aomori with Ryotaro 2 or 3 years ago, and someone messaged me a few years after that saying, "Oh, thanks to your video, I had my honeymoon there," which is kind of cool. And one of the cooler ones was earlier this year I did that documentary about the tsunami, and I visited the Tsunakan, the Nyokan. Run by Ichio Kano, the awesome woman who unfortunately lost her family in the disaster. And she said that a lot of foreign folks had made the pilgrimage to her inn after watching the documentary, because we've done two documentaries on her, one in 2018 and one in 2020. And in the 2021, when we caught up with her, she was like, yeah, loads of people from Australia and Britain have come. So that was really cool. And that felt good. As for who taught Natsuki the phrase, "The dog's bollocks," that was a video we made, I think, 3 years ago, or 2 years ago in 2018, before Natsuki came to the UK for Natsuki the movie. We did some English lessons online, and he learnt it there in a video called "Japanese Guy Learns English" or something, unoriginally titled. But you can go back and watch that and see Natsuki learn the phrase there. Have you seen that video, Pete? See Natsuki learn? I mean, probably. He used the English he learned in that video when he met you in London, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. He is getting better every time with the thing. But the actual dog's bollocks phrase, I can't speak. I mean, I'm English and I can't speak English. But the actual phrase, dog's bollocks, is it the best of the best simply because there aren't as many dog's bollocks around because they get chopped off? Or is it just... is it just so it's rare that you'd see a dog's bollock? I don't understand, really, to be honest, Chris.
It's one of those things I've never really thought about, the genesis of quite an odd phrase there. I don't know. That's something I want to find out. Let us know. Do you know where the phrase "the dog's bollocks" comes from? Let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days to do it all over again, guys. But for now, enjoy the final week of 2020. Enjoy what's left of it, and we'll see you on the other side in 2021. On Sunday for our first episode of the year, where we discuss our New Year's resolutions and our plans for 2021. For now, guys, have a good one. I'll see you then.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces
three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.